Welcome to WRTI's Classical Stream, made possible by contributions from listeners like you. Learn more at WRTI.org.
We have a very distinguished guest today on Crossover, a young person who has an incredible accomplishment behind her already, Yuzha Wang, pianist. Welcome to Crossover, Yuzha.
Thank you. Nice to be here.
It's wonderful to have you here. I heard you last year, I believe. You played here in Philadelphia, and as I told you before we started recording, that you knocked the socks off the audience and me as well. But I think you're used to hearing that.
With my encores.
Well, with your encores, yes. And you did say something quickly to me now that you're not playing some of these encores because you're too tired. Are you
working
very hard?
Yeah, I'm just kind of sick of them.
Sick of them?
Yeah. I was really interested in them 2-3 years ago. And they're very popular and very impressive, but I think those things can only play a few times, and after that it's just sick. I'm sick over that.
Well, you're sick of it, but the audience.
Oh, the audience always loves it. Yeah.
Well, you probably have gone through a lot of changes because now, how old are you now?
22.
Okay, mm-hmm. And you started when you were very, very young. How old
Six.
Were you?
Six.
Mm-hmm. How'd you start? I mean, did you just want to do it, or did your mother say, you know, you might like doing this? Or?
Well, my mom was a dancer, and she plays a little piano, so I had piano at home the whole time.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I would just start taking lessons on piano, on dancing, on anything else, calligraphy, painting, mm-hmm. and piano is just a hobby. And I like it. Like, I think it's the easiest one between them all. So,
and well, maybe at six, it was the easiest one.
Yeah. Right? Yeah.
And then, but you were really very successful. I mean, then you began to study. You were homeschooled,
yeah.
weren't you, initially?
No, I actually went to a regular school until I went to a conservatory when I was 9 years old. But I was studying with the same teacher since 7 until 14.
And who was that?
This Chinese lady. She's great.
What is her name?
Lin Yuan. It's hard to pronounce, yeah.
I know for a fact China had many, many, many Russians that mm-hmm. emigrated through the early part of the 20th century. They fled to China, and they, of course, established this Russian style of playing. So
yes, she was actually trained in Russia.
Yes.
And so was her husband, and they both were very Russian oriented, the way how they taught the technique and also the way of interpretation. So,
okay, so the technique, would that be very different than an Asian technique? I just wonder about.
No. I mean, Russian has this way of, I think, this way of producing the sound. Like, you can actually tell a Russian pianist that they have this very distinguished. Very rich and singing sound.
Mm-hmm.
And it seems like it's because of the body weight or whatever they're talking about. I don't believe in that anymore, but but back then that's how. I mean, it's very helpful because when you're relaxed and have a good way of controlling your body, you can play as much as you want in
as loud as you want,
as much and loud mm-hmm. and fast as you want without hurting yourself. So,
well, you're very well, as we say, petite, and one wouldn't think of you as someone who can get the kind of sound that you get out of the piano, as you do, and you enjoy playing. I watched you, and mm-hmm. it seems as though you're. You're challenging the piano when you play, and you say, I'm going to do this, and, you know, you're going to do it my way. Is it like that?
Yeah, well, it's definitely nice to feel, it's almost like driving a car, you know, it's like you feel like you're in a driving seat and can control over this thing.
Well, obviously you have a remarkable talent, and you came to Canada when you were 14, is mm-hmm. that right?
Alone, yeah.
Alone, that's something.
And I couldn't speak any English back then, and I hate the Canadian food. But I auditioned. I was only there for half a year, and I auditioned in Philly.
You came to Curtis.
Came to Curtis for 6 years.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And you studied with Gary Graffin.
Yeah.
and of course made a tremendous name for yourself even at school. I read somewhere that you said, I'm trying to find my own voice. What does that mean? What does that mean? You want to find out what makes you tick or what?
I guess I don't know. I think I'm just trying to think what I can do with the music I play, you know?
Well, when you study with a master, you know, teacher, there is a certain, aside from the technique, the production of the sound, there is a whole thing of interpretation, of course.
Mm-hmm.
What happens? I mean, do you have your own mind as to what you want to do? Do you discuss
it? Of course, yeah. I'm very independently thought of everything I play, even when I was very young. And I think why I said that, to find my voice, I think that was a few years ago, because I feel like I'm definitely finding my voice. I'm in the process of finding it, of course, but there's always that, you know, when you hear a great master, like I love Horowitz, I love Rachmaninoff, mm-hmm. and when you hear them, you can hear not just the music them they play, but you can hear their own personality and their own characters, like they're speaking to you.
Yes, of course.
You can even see through them, through their music. So I think that's what I want to do. And I think it happens subconsciously.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not exactly what I try the hardest thing to do. I think the hardest thing I'm trying to do is just to be in the moment, to mm-hmm. enjoy everything, because no matter how much you practice or whatever, the concert is the time that counts, and you just have to be there at that time.
Well, I think something happens in the concert. I think
sometimes.
Well, if you're technically secure, I think that you can have the option of or luxury mm-hmm. of expressing yourself. So I think it's very, very important to be technically secure. But in that process, mm-hmm. you have to, and there's also nerves. And do you get nervous when you perform?
I should. I think I'm better when I'm nervous. I guess it's the excitement that makes me very alert and very on top of everything.
Well, of course, I mean, you've gone through a period of evolution, as every artist does, and you're growing, as mm-hmm. every artist hopefully does, and discovering through music. Now, you have a new album out, and I read something also very interesting, that you had heard Maurizio Pollini play, and he recorded for Deutsche Grammophon, and you said, I want to record for that company.
Yes, that was when I was 10 years old.
It's incredible. I mean, you were so very advanced as a child.
Actually, never heard any recording. That recording was the first one I ever got as a gift, as my birthday. Mm-hmm. And it was Pollini playing Chopin etudes, mm-hmm. preludes, and polonaises. And I'm like instantly in love with Pollini and with the Yellow Label. So I've been approached by some other labels, but I think this Deutsche Grammophon is like a symbol of quality, of mm-hmm. high standards. So it's like something I believe in, and I'm just really, really happy that I'm with them. Right
well, now. I think they probably feel delighted that you decided that you wanted the Yellow Label.
Yes.
And of course, Pollini, wonderful. And so many great artists. Now, you have a varied program here, varied in the sense that you have Chopin, then you've got Liszt, and then you've got Ligeti. Now, tell us a little bit about Ligeti. And I say that with a kind of a smile, because he's not easy.
It's a cute name.
Yeah. He's not easy. There's nothing cute about him.
Yes. Well, it's actually, I mean, I love his music, but I think it's better if something electronic play it. I think it will sound just as nice and much more accurate. But those two are the only ones I learned, probably will, ever, because they're pretty much like splitting the brains. It's really hard to learn, and I actually played it last season by memory in concerts. So it's your left hand is doing one rhythm, and the right hand is mm-hmm. in a different key, different bar lines. Hard to read and hard to learn.
Very challenging.
Yeah.
Yeah, and of course, contemporary music generally is. How do you feel about contemporary repertoire?
I really like the challenge, and I think it's very, very important for me to learn them and to perform them, because that's just one of the responsibility to be a contemporary artist.
Well, that sounds like it should be done rather than I love it and I want to do it.
Well, you never know. That's the thing. Sometimes I hear, like, this Ligeti, I really wanted to learn it. I heard it from a recording, and I said, wow, this is a cool piece. I want to learn it. And actually, I'm premiere one of a Philadelphian composer this year, Jennifer Higdon's Piano Concerto.
But her music is really very accessible, much of it, I think.
They're accessible. They're not accessible. And I mean, you never know what you, I don't think I know what I like until I try it. So it takes some time to actually get into it. I mean, the same thing with Beethoven, same thing with Brahms. Mm-hmm. And once I get what they're saying, I think it's good.
It's inspiring. Yeah, I guess to some degree.
It's actually really satisfying. Rewarding to know, like,
you can do it.
Premiere, yeah. Well, can do it and can do it first. You know,
is it rewarding in the same way Beethoven is, or Mozart is, or Chopin is, or Rachmaninoff? Is it the same reward?
Oh, it's more. I think it's almost like when Richter was premiere Prokofiev Sonata. Mm-hmm. He never know. For him, it's a contemporary work, and I think there's lots of great composers who I can premiere their work and be the first one to play them. And I think there are lots of masterpieces being produced.
Really?
It's just we're not...
ready?
Well, performers maybe, yeah, we're not ready to hear it or even play it. If we play it really well, like every little thing the composer asked, I think they are pretty cool.
They are. Now, you are the concerto the Higdon concerto. Mm-hmm. Is that written for you?
She's not really. I don't think she was written for anybody. But I'm premiering it.
And when is that going to be?
It's in December, first week in Washington National.
Okay, you have already played here in Philadelphia. Thursday, Friday, and tonight, mm-hmm. Saturday night. And then you're going to Carnegie next week.
Yes. It's my Carnegie debut.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Have you ever played in New York at all before?
No. Yeah, it's going to be my debut. And, I played it with the YouTube orchestra.
Not but that's exactly different. The same.
Yes. So I'm very excited about the Tuesday, 13th. Yeah.
Yes. And that's with the Philadelphia Orchestra, though, mm-hmm. in Carnegie.
Yep.
Charles Dutoit conducting. So you have, you've got your very, very full schedule. What happens after these concerts in terms of your schedule? Are you touring? Are you going to be going anywhere?
Yeah, I have recitals in Zurich. I'm playing Prokofiev's Three with Papano in Milan, and a tour with the Shanghai Symphony, and recitals in Paris, in Madrid, Israel concerto. It's constantly
wonderful. How about
moving.
Going back to Shanghai? That will be an interesting. Have you played there before?
No, it's they're coming to U.S.
Oh,
it's a tour.
But
I was just in Beijing with Claudio Abbado and the Luzern Festival.
Ah, yes.
And that was very exciting. I mean, China is really moving up.
They're moving up. How are you accepted there?
I was very happy because I got like a standing ovation, like bravo. They said bravo even before I played because Abbado haven't been there for 36 years and he hardly played with any soloist, and he chose me to open the Luzern Festival, and for them it's like a pride.
Yes, what an accomplishment. Yeah.
So I was very moved by their enthusiasm.
So do you still have family back there in China?
Yes, all my family are in Beijing. I'm based in New York, actually a block from Carnegie.
Mm-hmm.
But this time coming back to Philly, it just makes me feel like more like a homecoming than going back to Beijing.
You're a block from Carnegie, but it's a very, very long block to get to Carnegie.
Takes no practice.
No, we used to say there was the way to get to Carnegie Hall is practice, practice, practice. But there was always a little old violinist standing out there playing, I remember. It's very exciting, Yuja, to speak with you. I don't think that the audience can get the full impact of your talent by listening to the radio or even listening to you on a recording. To see you perform, it is very, very thrilling. I'm sure you've been told this before, but there's something quite spectacular about you and your stage presence and also what you produce. You have small hands, don't you? And I heard
they're very skinny.
Skinny?
Yes. I think I have a perfect violin hand. But I was too lazy to learn violin when I was young.
It's too hard. What do you do about 11ths?
I can do a tenth.
A tenth.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, Horowitz had an amazing left hand. I remember that.
He has amazing 10 fingers.
That's right. But I remember that.
And 10
left
toes,
hand.
Too.
Yes, yes, yes. Really spectacular. So yes. He was one of your, there are quite a few idols there. Mm-hmm. So this is your first release, and that's with Deutsche Grammophon. You have anything else on the calendar for recording?
Yeah, I'm doing, recording another solo album, which I haven't decided which pieces yet, in January. And, also a live concert with, Claudio Abbado. I'm doing some Rachmaninoff concertos, and they're just going to record live and release that.
Which ones?
Number 2 and Paganini. And also, actually, the one I played in Luzern Festival, we did Prokofiev's 3, that's going to be released is on DVD this December.
Ah, wonderful.
Yeah.
How about Rocky 3? Is that for down
I really
the road?
Want to record that, except the recording company says, you know, everyone and everyone of their grandmother do it.
Really? So, well, they have very talented grandmothers. So. But I think, wasn't Martha Argerich one of your favorite pianists?
She's definitely a legend. Yes. Yes.
Okay. Yeah. She did very well with the 3rd.
Yeah, I'm actually working up on the 3rd. I'm playing several times this season.
Well, yeah. We'll certainly keep track of you, Yuja.
Yeah.
But once again, you are establishing and breaking ground. Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of it has to do with your attitude. I think that's what everyone feels. You take the challenge, I think, and that's exciting. And mm-hmm. you're willing to go into unknown territory, and that's exciting.
Yeah, I like to take the risk for sure.
I think
that's what's interesting.
Why do you think that is? How has your life shaped you that you're willing to take the risk?
Well, I think I've just been, like I said, I've been very independent since when I was young, mm-hmm. and I think if there's no risk, it's too boring to do it, and I would rather not to do anything. So,
so you just jump right in.
Exactly. I like the challenge. I like the thrill of it, and also being independent, and has something to do with wanting to be original and unique. And I have to break the ground to discover the unknown to do that.
And you're prepared technically as well.
Keep yourself
prepared. Well, we hope so too, because as I say, your star is ascending, and I'm so happy that you came and found time. I know your time is very precious to come and speak with us. And Yuja, we all look forward to a wonderful, exciting future for you. The very, very best.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.